The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 395, Creative Ways to Reduce Food Waste with Carly Bodrug of Plant U.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And we are super excited for this episode. Carly Bodrug is Plant U on Instagram and TikTok. And with over 7 million followers, she, for almost exclusively for maybe the past year, has talked about how to reduce food waste.
All those statistics, I'm like, oh my gosh, so many numbers, so much goodness. But also what stands out is just how good she is. I follow her on Instagram and beautiful pictures of food that look so amazing, but then also these incredible tips about how to make sure you get the most of your food and cooked really tasty meals. So this is just an incredible conversation.
Yeah, and this food is made from food scraps, things you and I would throw away. Carly is repurposing in not just really delicious, but pretty easy ways. And so she has a new book out called Scrappy Cooking, and she is sharing some of the highlights with us today.
Which is perfect, because when we polled you all in our friend letter, you all said that the thing you waste the most is vegetables, like by a landslide. Mm-hmm. Almost 62% of you who answered that poll said it's vegetables. So how perfect that we have Carly here today to talk about specifically vegetables, how to not waste them, how to cook them in a yummy way, how to repurpose and utilize even parts of vegetables that we thought we should be throwing away. So this is, it's just so good. But first, this episode is brought to you by Treasure, the opposite of waste and garbage. And a treasure is what you are. And if you want more treasure. People telling you in different ways about the treasure you are, then get the friend letter.
Friend letter.
Right now, we're podcasting to you in your ears about how great you are. And we're writing to you in the email, the friend letter, about how lovely you are.
So
what
lovely.
A treasure you are. And also freebies, savings tips, spending hacks. So if you want to get all of those treasures for yourself, because you're a treasure, frugalfriendspodcast.com.
Treasure, that is what you are. All right, that's all we can legally sing. All right, Carly doesn't really need an introduction, because if you've ever wondered about reducing food waste, you probably already follow her on Instagram or TikTok. But she is a New York Times bestselling author already, and she has a new cookbook out. She's self-taught, plant-based, and she's literally famous for her simple take on low-waste vegan recipes. And so we had such a good time chatting with her. So without further ado,
let's do it.
Carly, welcome to the Frugal Friends podcast. We are stoked to have this conversation.
I could not be more excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm beyond thrilled because, well, we're talking about food, but we're also talking about reducing food waste, which I'm realizing is becoming one of my biggest areas of concern and potentially like just a heightened awareness that I really can't let things go. It might be teetering on the edge of like really unhinged, but I really can't stand it. And I think that just from following you on Instagram, you've got so much to offer, but I'm so excited to really like dive in and give this conversation to our audience. So can we start there? Can we talk about food scraps, ideas for repurposing food? How do you come up with new ideas? Do people just like have to be brilliant or are there like some things you can consider?
Is there hope for the rest of us?
You know what? Whenever I talk about food waste, I like to start by sourcing a statistic, and that's that 30 to 40% of the entire US food supply ends up in landfills. And what is the most shocking about that is you would think that the majority of it comes from grocery stores or retail landscapes, but it actually, the biggest percentage is in homes, so in consumer homes. So it's a real problem, not only for our planet because that food ends up in landfills and then produces methane gas, but for our wallets. We're talking about saving money on here. And if 30% of your food is going in the garbage can, it is an astronomical amount of money that we are just throwing down the drain. So that's the number one thing I like to start with. Can anybody reduce their food waste? The answer is absolutely yes. So it was probably about 2 years ago. I, as a food blogger, had always been cognizant about food waste. I'm plant-based, one of the main reasons being for environmental reasons. And it just, when I learned that statistic about food waste, it was hard to wrap my head around. And because I'm constantly testing recipes, we have so much food coming into the home, and I have to be really cognizant of this from a financial perspective, and also that I don't want to be wasting things. And I threw up an orange peel candy recipe one day, not thinking much of it. And I remember I kind of put my phone down, as I do when I post a reel. I'm like, I don't want to see how people are reacting to this right away. Came back to it a couple hours later, and it had like a million views. And that was my first video to ever go mega viral. And I'm like, wait, people care about this. And so I think I've done 100 scrappy episodes since, and now written a cookbook on the subject. But when we think about scrappy cooking, I think people's minds go to orange peel, eating orange peels, eating banana peels, which is all fun and dandy. But in reality, what low-waste cooking is about is utilizing what you have in your kitchen, making sure things don't go to waste. And the easiest way, in my opinion, to do that is to be strategic about meal planning. So making sure you're not overbuying. And then number two, having a repertoire of meals that you can interchange vegetables and produce items in. Like, for example, we make a curry every week where we're interchanging the vegetables that we have in our fridge to make sure that you're using everything up. So it doesn't have to be complicated, and it doesn't have to be scrappy to the extreme.
I can commiserate with this, Carly, because when we first started the Frugal Friends podcast, and probably still now, people assume that we're going to tell them that they need to like have reusable toilet paper, that we're going to be like that far to the extreme.
Reusable toilet paper and coupons.
But there is an attainable portion of this. We can find some version of a radical middle in this where it doesn't include us just like gnawing on banana peels, but we can just be a little bit more planful. But I also love this because it's not just about the environment, which is a biggie, but for a lot of us, that's not always on the forefront. It's good to remind ourselves of that, but we are often going to be more motivated in the day-to-day on how is it benefiting me, just to be realistic about humans. And mm-hmm. so to not waste the money on the food that you bought, but to also stretch the days that you're consuming the food that you bought, because you've been able to be planful and buy interchangeable ingredients, and then maybe follow people like you to get more creative.
Yeah, a lot of my ethos is also tied to eating healthy and eating more plants, whatever that looks like in your life. And I really think that eating a low-waste diet, per se, ties into this conversation about healthy eating. Because I think a lot of us buy a whole bunch of vegetables at the beginning of the week, really well-intentioned. And then your week gets busy, our lives go crazy, as most of us do. And then at the end of the week, you're staring in your fridge and you've got that box of wilting spinach. So if we can all be more intentional about our planning, not only are we going to reduce our environmental impact, but we're going to eat healthier and we're going to also reduce food waste and save money. So it's all like it's a win-win-win to start thinking about your food waste.
Yeah. Everybody who's ever tried to, you know, quote unquote, eat healthier has had that. I personally, that's why I buy so much frozen produce now. Like,
yes,
I try to buy frozen whenever I can, because I know by midweek, I'm not the same person I was on Sunday when I made the good meal plan. And that's why I also like try and make more realistic. I try to think about the person I'm going to be on Wednesday when I'm making my Sunday meal plan.
What is Wednesday Jen like?
Wednesday Jen is done.
Oh, Wednesday Jen's tired.
I get a second win on Thursday, but Wednesday Jen is tired.
This is so great, because I'm the exact same way. And I think people look, and you guys probably as hosts of this podcast, people look at you as this like perfect kind of monolith of like zero waste living and doing everything perfectly. And in reality, I've created these systems for myself because I am that person. Like Wednesday Carly is like, I'm getting Uber Eats. Like I can't this week. So mm-hmm. you have to kind of have that foresight to think, okay, what is midweek Carly going to do? Am I really going to eat this like three heads of broccoli that I'm buying on Sunday thinking that I'm going to be like super healthy this week, right? And I wanted to point out that one thing people think about frozen vegetables and fruit is that it has less nutrients than your fresh stuff. And that is actually the opposite. So oftentimes frozen vegetables and fruit, because they're harvested and then frozen right away, rather than being put on a truck, traveling to your grocery store and being bought, they often maintain more of the nutrients than the fresh stuff, especially in a place like Canada where I am, where a lot of the food is being shipped in. So there is absolutely no shame in relying on frozen produce. And if not, it's going to save you money and help you eat healthier. So fun tip. Mm.
Yes. Yeah, that's me. I'm trying to just be healthier. That's so true. I also wanted to point out, because you eat a plant-based diet, and I love the episode that we had with plant-based on a budget. That was another one of my favorite episodes.
Tony! That's yes. one of my best friends. Love her. She's
amazing. Yes. She is so great. But we had recently we did a survey of our audience, and we gave them a chance to like just open feedback. And one of the girls was like, I just feel like nobody's talking about how tofu is a great source of protein and it's so much cheaper than meat and nobody's talking about it. And I just want to apologize to that listener, because all like eating plant-based is a great way to save money. I know this is not like a, you know, plant-based episode, but you mentioned it, and it is such a great way when you take out the most expensive part of the meal, you're left with the most nutrient dense and least expensive parts.
Yeah. For some reason, there's a stigma around plant-based, or what a lot of people like to call vegan eating, that it's super expensive. And I think it can be if you go to the grocery store and you're one-to-one replacing your chicken or your meat with like a processed plant-based meat product that is very expensive. But if you're relying on whole foods, your beans, your grains, your tofu, in reality, it can be a lot less expensive than eating animal products. Even cheese is, I've heard, is very expensive. And I remember when I was not vegan, the most expensive thing on my grocery bill week after week was chicken. And this isn't to say you can't ever eat animal products again. I just think it's, if you're wanting to reduce your grocery bill, it can be a really great way. And then to focus on whole foods rather than processed foods. Again, win for your health, win for your wallet as well.
Yes. Okay, so in your kitchen and in your grocery shopping, like, what are the things you feel help you best reducing in food waste? I know we had kind of mentioned not overbuying and buying interchangeable, but how do you act that out? How do you do that practically?
Yeah, this is a great question and something I think a lot of people ignore in the process of reducing food waste. And the number one tip I have for people is careful and intentional planning. So I try to grocery shop just once per week, which is a feat considering I recipe test for a living.
That tip in itself is, difficult. Practical, yes. And difficult.
Yeah. So I typically grocery shop on Sundays, which is a popular day for people. And I try to keep my work week Monday to Friday. So I say, take half an hour if you have it. Sit down. If you have a family, sit down with your family. If it's just you, sit down with a piece of paper and a pen. It doesn't have to be fancy. Make a grid Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And this doesn't have to be super rigid, but think about what you want to eat for the week. So maybe you're having pasta one night and you're going to prep overnight oats for breakfast. And then build that out. Leave some flexibility. If you're somebody who often goes out to eat or orders in, it's important to leave for a little spontaneity in there. And then from there, once you've built out a meal plan per se, I like to tell people to start then making a grocery list from that meal plan. So you're going to look at your vegetables that you need, your grains that you need. And then before you head to the grocery store, shop your fridge and pantry, because oftentimes you're going to have things like rice and ketchup and canned tomatoes, often oats that you're going to need anyways. And then this prevents overbuying. You can also, before you even do this, take a quick scan of your fridge and pantry to see what items you have and build out that meal plan based on items that you have to use up. But planning is going to be your number one thing. Heading into the grocery store without a plan, you're almost guaranteed to overbuy. Food marketing is genius. And if you don't have a list in front of you, you're going to be picking things off the shelf that you don't need and spending money that you don't want to.
Okay, sub question for you on this one. If somebody is like, that all sounds good, but they're really kind of starting from ground zero and they don't even know what recipes could be made with what they already have on hand or what they'd need to add to the list or how to even find food that their family's going to eat. Do you have any thoughts on where somebody could start with that? They're like, okay, sure, I'll set 30 minutes aside, but like, well, how do I do that?
It's a great question because as a food blogger who cooks for a living, it's hard for me to zoom out and realize like that's where I was at 7 years ago, 100%. So there's so many free tools online that are at our disposal. I like to tell people to hop on Pinterest and search the terms like 20-minute meals. If you're somebody who is vegan, you can search 20-minute vegan meals, 20-minute weeknight dinners, and then compile a list of what looks good to you. Oftentimes, families will have recipes that they love and kind of cycle through. So you can kind of look at what you typically eat in a week and maybe build off of that. But if you're starting from ground zero, you're not a big cook, Pinterest is your friend, as well as Instagram and other social media sites, and looking for things that can be put together quickly. Often really easy recipes, if you're somebody who works a 9-to-5, for example, would be crock pot recipes. So being able to put everything in a crock pot like the night before or in the evening and set it and forget it, or what they call dump meals, are really, really valuable in this case. And then utilize your freezer. So if you are starting from scratch and you're prepping a big pile of chili and say you live on your own and you're like, I don't want to have chili for like the next 10 days. Utilize your freezer, freeze it in individual serving sizes. And then you're saying thank you to your future self by having meals already prepped that are healthy and delicious and going to help you reduce your waste.
Mm, yes. I love super cubes for that. Like
I was going to say.
S-O-U-P. Yes. Those are great. Not a necessity, but they are fantastic for freezing that stuff.
We've been there, done that with overpriced wireless providers and their fine print contracts. But with Mint Mobile, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's it. No catch.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
So you can say bye-bye to that overpriced phone plan you've been using and bring your own phone, your same number, and all your contacts with you right on over to any Mint Mobile plan.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/frugal. That's mintmobile.com/frugal. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/frugal. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I don't love creating my spending plan each month, and it took me a while to find a budgeting app that had simple features but didn't feel and look like a spreadsheet. If that's you too, Monarch's the way to go.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
I like how easy it is to customize my budget and create automatic transaction rules. The transaction widget helps me stay on top of my spending. After using Monarch for several months, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
So now that we've kind of talked about how to start from ground zero, now we're kind of moving into 201, what to do with your food. Can you tell us a little bit about your favorite, your top scrappy cooking recipes when we're really now, we know what we're eating, but we're really at this food reduction point. How do you approach that? What are your favorites?
Yeah, so there's lots to have fun with. I always tell people if they're buying broccoli every week and they're paying by weight and then they're throwing out the broccoli stem, that is, again, throwing money in the trash. Broccoli stems are completely edible and they're actually really delicious. And I have a couple of ways to use broccoli stems in my new book. So one of them is broccoli stem summer rolls. So we're a huge fan of summer rolls in this house. And that's just making sure rice paper is wet and making sure you can roll rice paper rolls with rice noodles and your veggies. And then instead of throwing out your broccoli stems, you can cut them into matchsticks, almost like carrots, and put them in the summer rolls as well. And I also have a delicious like mango peanut sauce for dipping in the book so good. But one other thing you can do with broccoli stems that we'll do almost weekly is I'll make like a one pot vegan mac and cheese. And I love broccoli and mac and cheese, but I'll also grate the stems right into the broccoli mac and cheese. And it's almost like a grated carrot replacement. And then the third thing you can do, chop them up and just throw them in a stir fry. So that's one thing to be thinking about. If you're a big broccoli eater, you will surely love broccoli stems. You just have to peel off that tough outer layer. Probably my favorite recipe in the book is called Sunday sauce, and it's just like a bolognese kind of ragu, and it's a delicious recipe where literally this is what I was talking about, fridge raid. So we have a whole bunch of recipes in the book that have like a fridge raid icon, and what this means is that you can basically use any of the vegetables in your fridge and interchange them to go into a recipe, but this one is particularly good for it.
Nice.
Yeah. And so what this one is basically you add some lentils and then whatever veg. So I mean like mushrooms, bell peppers, onion, garlic, you name it, into a food processor to make like a veggie ground, or you can chop by hand, whichever one is accessible to you. Throw that into a pot and saute it with some tomato paste, and then add diced tomatoes and spices, and it makes just a beautiful sauce that can freeze, go over pasta, or be used as a base for a whole bunch of recipes.
I love that. I think especially for people who are starting out, that can be one of the biggest hangups. Is this recipe looks really good, but I don't have all the ingredients on hand and I don't have time to run out. So I guess I can't, and I'm just going to get takeout, or I'm just going to go out to eat or do something quick and simple by buying convenience versus, oh, I could just sub this for something else that I have. And I think that courage, that feels like a big barrier for a lot of people to kind of step into this, I'm going to disobey the recipe and I'm going to use something that the recipe isn't calling for. Who knows if it's going to taste good? So I love that you've got a recipe that's helping to give that permission.
Well, like, whole
you
category.
Have any of this, you could da, 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 da. And it helps to kind of, okay, somebody who knows what they're talking about is telling me that I can do this. And that's so helpful.
I know permission is like the thing that you kind of need. Like, I love looking at recipes on blogs and reading the comments. If someone's like, can I sub this for this? If I don't have eggs for these scrambled eggs, can I use something else if I have an egg allergy? Like, I love...
Yeah, but then also they'll go like too far. They'll be like, you know, these ricotta pancakes were awful because I subbed ricotta for like potatoes. And it's just like that's completely not the recipe.
So like having permission of like, these are, you know, kind of, these are the parameters in which you can like alter this and it still be delicious.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
That's a huge goal of mine. I love to teach people the fundamentals of cooking so they feel confident enough to make those changes in their home. Like even something as simple as, we have a vegan omelet in the book. And again, it's a kitchen raid recipe. You can use whatever veggies you want in the omelet. But unless you're giving people permission to do that as the person who created the recipe, I think people feel very bound to it, right? And then if they don't have the ingredients for that, the last thing I want somebody doing is going and buying a whole bunch of indescript ingredients that they don't normally cycle through in their home. And now we're wasting food. So I think I probably have about 25 kitchen raid recipes in there where the whole basis of them is being able to interchange the vegetables, which in essence, to me, is how you reduce waste. Is by being really flexible and making sure that you're using up what's in your fridge and in pantry.
Mm. Yes. Another thing about broccoli stems. So as someone with a child who likes broccoli one day and then the next day hates it and doesn't eat it, like boiling those and like putting them in a sauce, either like a marinara where you can't really see it, like just blending it up so it's so ingrated in there, he doesn't know it's in there. Or a muffin where it's like, oh, this is a green muffin. This is very fun. And it's got chocolate chips. Or maybe a green. I haven't actually tried it at like making the sauce green. It is a way that I've got, because I accidentally bought They sell, you could just buy broccoli stems frozen. And I accidentally bought those once. So we had to come up with creative ways to use it. So that's a way to get your kids to eat broccoli stems without knowing it.
One other recipe
in there.
Off of the back of that that I want to mention is in the book, I have something called a scrappy pesto. And it's really, again, an interchangeable recipe. And I'll just kind of run down it right now, but you can use basically any greens you have. And I like to encourage people to use something like radish tops, beet greens, which you might normally discard. And then you blend that with some basil if you have it, cashews, nutritional yeast, garlic, and a little bit of salt. And it makes just the most amazing pesto sub that can be used on anything. It can be frozen, it can be used as a pasta sauce, it can be used as a dip, and it's super delicious. And if you're somebody who has trouble getting through greens, having that in your repertoire is going to save you a lot of money and waste.
Yeah, I have never used my beet greens before. My father-in-law has a farm and sometimes we'll get beets from there. And I've never used the greens before. But what a great way, just when you're making the beets, just, you know, put the greens aside and make a little sauce, put it in the freezer.
Another thing you can do with beet greens is make, I don't know if you guys have ever made kale chips, but they're shockingly delicious. But I have a beet chip recipe, and it's really simple. Like, you just toss your beets with a little bit of olive oil and nutritional yeast and seasoning, pop them in the oven, and they make a delicious, like, crispy chip similar to kale chips. So don't toss your beet greens. They're good.
Feeling so inspired.
Yeah, kale chips are good. I like kale, but even for people who don't like kale chips are really where it's at, and all chips are where it's at. A couple more, like, commonly thrown away scraps. What are some of your favorite recipes?
Okay, I'm going to whirl through some for you. So number one, canned chickpeas, the liquid in it, it's called aquafaba. This is the most amazing vegan egg white substitute. And the craziest thing, when you beat it with like a hand whisk, it will create a meringue. So you can make mini meringue cookies. You can use it as an egg white substitute in something like a cake. So I have a cake recipe that uses the aquafaba for eggs, and you can also use it to bread things. So like if you were to bread your tofu, you can use it as the egg base replacement. Pickle juice, don't throw your pickle juice. I know a lot of athletes like to drink pickle juice, but pickle juice, it makes an amazing marinade for tofu. If you want almost like a pickled chicken kind of vibe, that's great. And then also in soups, I have like a dilly pickle orzo soup in my book, and dill pickle chips. So good. What's another one? Banana peel bacon. You can eat banana peels. This is one that like people are very apprehensive about. You want to scrub them and you can make banana peel bacon. Shockingly delicious. And then if you're not a banana peel bacon fan, you can make mushroom bacon, which is just unreal. And then finally, the number one most wasted food, I bet you guys would never guess, is actually bread. Because we just buy so much and then it goes hard really easily. So if you
not
have
in
bread,
Jill's house. Not here. Oh, no way. Might.
Yeah, not Jill's
you
house,
a big
maybe
are
mine.
You a big bread fan, Jill?
Oh,
you love your bread.
Oh, it gets demolished.
I love that.
It's here one minute, gone the next.
But the rest of us want to hear how to repurpose.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So if you have bread, that's we don't want you eating mold. So I want to preface this by saying, everybody, if something is showing signs of like real spoilage and has a scent to it, it needs to be composted or discarded. But if your bread is just like gone hard or a little bit like not edible in its form, you can actually make breadcrumbs. So easy. You just add it to a blender or food processor with a little bit of spices. You've got amazing breadcrumbs for a whole bunch of things. Or number two, I love to make this like vegan French toast casserole. So you just tear it up, add it to a casserole dish with like a custard made of coconut milk and vegan yogurt. And it is so good. Rebake it. It will be soft again and pillowy and delicious.
Yes, the French toast casserole is a go-to for me. I love it.
Yeah, croutons. Great way.
I love
croutons.
Jill
yes.
loves bread.
Yeah, I love
me
bread.
Me too.
Yeah. I love bread in all the ways. It's so good. I'm in my sourdough era now, too. So yeah. I am in control of how much bread I can have in my house. And it's wild. I've gone wild. Yes.
You know what else is wild?
Every single time it's wild.
We all benefit from it. Never goes to waste.
The Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Carly, every week we yell at our guests and ask them to share with us their favorite bill of the week. We'd love to hear yours.
As soon as I saw this question, what immediately came to my mind, I used to work at a hospital and there was this man, he was an angel named Bill, who was the maintenance man for the hospital. And this guy deserves Bill of the Week every week. He was just the most, like, he would do anything that you needed done, you get Bill on the phone. And he had just like dad energy and he could fix absolutely anything. So that's my Bill of the Week rather than a bill that I have to pay. I like to think
yes,
about
yes, Bill at the hospital.
Yeah, Bill at
do
the
anything
hospital.
For anybody. Dad energy. I love Bill fix, dad energy.
Fix anything. Gem of a human kind. This is what we're learning about bills. People named Bill. Anytime somebody calls in and talks about a person they know named Bill, they're always salt of the earth human being, just this great individual. And yet never have we ever, right? We're encroaching on 400 episodes, had a person named Bill call in themselves.
Be their it's own Bill, about Bill.
And you know what I'm realizing right now, Jen? Is because we don't attract that. We don't attract
salt of the earth energy.
Salt of the earth kind human
Stop
beings
it.
Who can fix anything. I think this is on
No, it's
us.
Because 95% of our audience is women, Jill.
I don't know, Jen. Okay.
Okay. That's the reason.
If you're listening and your name is Bill and somehow you've decided you'll grace us with your presence by listening, please, please call in and just say, I'm Bill. It's me. Hi.
I love
I'm
that.
I'm the Bill. It's me.
I'm the treasure. It's me. Or, you know, anything else. We're here for it. FrugalFriendsPodcast.com/Bill.
I don't love creating my spending plan each month, and it took me a while to find a budgeting app that had simple features but didn't feel and look like a spreadsheet. If that's you too, Monarch's the way to go.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
I like how easy it is to customize my budget and create automatic transaction rules. The transaction widget helps me stay on top of my spending. After using Monarch for several months, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for
Lightning Round! Pew, pew, pew,
pew! I love sound effects.
We have worked really hard to perfect these sound effects over 395 episodes.
We can't do it all. We don't have professional sound effects.
No, we're homegrown
voices.
Yeah, we got to use we're on a budget here, all right? We can't hire out these sound effects. All right, so for the lightning round this week, we'd like to hear, what is your most quote-unquote creative dish you've ever created? Carly, bonus points for you specifically if it was a fail.
Because it's Jen's vulnerability round and she likes hearing about failure.
I love hearing about failure in the vulnerability round. I love also hearing about success.
You could give us both.
You can give us both, yes.
Okay, I'll give you, when I was testing recipes for my first book, most creative recipe was my buffalo cauliflower wings. They are so delicious, and anybody who tries them loves them. And they're actually wrapped in rice paper, which makes like a flaky meat-like skin.
Oh.
So good. So that was like a brain wavelength. And I created them with my dad. But during the testing for my first book, was entirely oil-free, and we were trying to create a bran muffin recipe. Had to have gone through 10 rounds of bran muffins, and every single one was like hard as a rock, to the point like if you threw it at somebody, it would do damage.
You catch a charge.
Yeah, yeah, you catch a charge. So they never ended up in the book. But those would be the two.
Yeah, it's hard to bake without...
Without oil, yes.
Yeah, without really dense fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know a lot about baking. I don't know like why I know that. But
neither do I really.
I watched the Netflix documentary, The Salt, Fat,
Acid,
Fire.
Heat.
Acid Heat. Yes. I watched that documentary once. Man. Good. Okay.
That's so great. I love buffalo cauliflower.
Oh,
wings.
So do I.
But they are so fantastic. But yeah. I've never heard that rice paper. So yeah.
Right.
Well done.
Whew. I love that. I love that it's a texture thing, right?
They're delicious. Yeah, it gets nice and crispy, and then like the soft cauliflower on the outside that's like been melted in buffalo sauce. Just delicious.
And then you can reuse the rest of those little rice papers for some broccoli stick spring summer rolls.
Yeah.
Reuse.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, look at you.
Look at you.
I'm listening.
I'm listening.
All right, Jen, what you got?
So maybe not the most creative, but this week, okay, so our house is under renovation. So I have half a kitchen, and so half of my kitchen had to go into the pantry. So I forgot about some things that I bought because I just had to, the guys don't give me any notice on what they're going to work on. So they're like, oh, we're going to take this wall out today. And I'm like, oh, getting everything into the pantry. So I had onions in there for weeks. One of them started sprouting something. So I was like, I have to use these onions today. And I happened to have a can of lentils that I'd had for probably a year. Because I don't know why I bought canned lentils.
Mm.
Like every recipe I use just uses the raw.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a can of lentils for a very long time. Never could use them. So I made a lentils and rice. I think it's mujadara.
Mm-hmm.
I'm butchering the pronunciation, but I rice, lentils, caramelized onions, and I made that Sunday.
That sounds unreal.
That sounds great, but also the words that you used to describe it made me concerned that everything was expired.
No, nothing was expired. the bad parts of the onions got thrown away, mm-hmm. and I used just the good parts of the onions, the parts that did not smell or were not, you know, weren't black.
Okay. Yeah.
Or sprouting. And wow. And yeah, and the can of lentils was still good.
Wow.
And throw in some rice. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, my example is not plant-based, but I am so proud of myself for this.
I got to partake in this one, and it was good. It was a win.
Did you? I gave this to you?
You either gave it to me or I saw it.
Okay. So
no, I think I ate it.
Maybe. I was probably so proud I was giving it out to everybody. Anybody walking down the street. So I had just an array of leftovers. Small amounts and random, like one rib, two meatballs, two cooked potatoes, and then I had some eggs and stuffing. I had a handful of leftover stuffing, random. But I refused to throw these things out. But all these things were left over from meals that we had been eating so much already that week. So I could not stomach it for myself or for my husband. So I decided I'm going to make pancakes out of all of this instead of throw it away. So I just pulled it all out, threw in a couple of eggs to congeal it, added some flour, and I fried those puppies up like a pancake. And let me tell you, I served it then with like a jam.
They were like a savory pancake
with jam. You could choose jam or sour cream. They were amazing. Eric loved them. That's my husband. He's like, oh my gosh, you need to make these again. I'm like, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen again because this was a wild surprise.
I love that.
Pancakes.
Good for you.
We wasted nothing. Yeah, this is how deep down the rabbit hole I have gotten, where mm-hmm. I'm just throwing everything in, mashing it together, and calling it a pancake, feeding it to people.
That's what you got to do.
I just saw this.
I love that.
I just saw this on social media, but it was like they called it a McGriddle muffin. So they were throwing like a pancake mix. And in with just
whatever you got.
They were using like a breakfast meat, some cheese, but you could really do like whatever leftovers you had and throw it all into a muffin tin, and make little pancake muffies.
Wow,
little aside, like
I love it.
Yeah,
and when you start doing this, I think that's what I love. You kind of break the barriers. And you feel empowered to get more and more creative as you're going. At least when you just get one win. And there might be a lot of fails in there, but mm-hmm. you get one win. And then you're like, oh, man, I can try new things and keep going.
Yeah. Which I feel like, Carly, on your social media profiles, like you give so many accessible ways to break into that little barrier. Like you can go to your profile and just scroll down and see like, oh my gosh, I have that in my fridge right now. Click on it and see like what to do with it. And just get that little win really quickly and then feel like, oh my gosh, like I don't have to throw away as many of these scraps maybe as I am. Or when my kid doesn't finish their meal, I don't have to throw it all in the trash. Yeah.
It's really all about what Jill said. It's gaining confidence in the kitchen is a huge piece of the puzzle here. And once you realize that cooking, the stakes are low. It's supposed to be fun. It doesn't have to be this massively intimidating thing that you have to be perfect every time at. It take the pressure off because then it's going to get easier. And you can literally throw anything into pancake mix and it's going to turn out okay.
Yay, thanks.
What a great key takeaway from this episode. I truly believe that to be true. And if you gain nothing else, I think you've walked away with a really great money-saving habit.
So, Carly, people are going to want more from you. Let's tell them where to find
everyone,
more.
Yes.
Yeah. Where can they get?
Yeah, you can find me on any social media network other than maybe Snapchat at Plant You. I haven't gotten on there yet, but Plant YOU, and everything's there. And if you're interested in my book, it's scrappycookbook.com, but you can find it through my profile as well.
Awesome. Oh, we are so, so, so excited for this book. This is definitely one I want to have on hand just to have the index so I can go through whenever I have a scrap, like just hit the chapter, hit fridge raids, all that. So Carly, thank you so, so, so much for hanging out with us.
This has been a blast. Thank you. I have so much gratitude for you guys having me on. It's been so much fun, and I hope people enjoy the show.
Agreed. So fun.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for this. I don't have cookbooks, right? This is a thing I don't actually have many books. I'm a Kindle library person.
We know this.
Yes. But I am so excited to have a physical copy of this cookbook.
This will be something you pull out.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. It's a reference guide.
Yeah. Well, okay. For me, I'm excited about this because I think I would love to cook more veggie forward, plant-based forward. But so many of the recipes, what I'm accustomed to, what I'm used to, is not that. And that's my barrier to making tofu or tempeh or really going wild with the veggies. I just don't know what I don't know. And so I think people like Carly helping to kind of, here's the things you don't know, just do it. Here's the recipe, make it. Because we were talking about this in a recent episode too, about farmers markets and how wanting to get more, if I am buying meat, wanting to know where it's coming from, recognizing that the way that our animals are harvested is just like, we're not actually getting even the nutrients from animal products that we think we are because of, that's a whole other soapbox. But it's making me want to learn more about what to do with veggies, how to get the protein that I need from these things, but just feeling like this is so much work and time and energy to discover these things. And so to have resources and a cookbook from someone like Carly is so exciting for me too, my minimalist kitchen.
It kind of reminds me of the episode that we did with Cassie Joy Garcia. She wrote the cookbook Cook Once, Eat Twice, where that's primarily protein focused. This is essentially the same thing. You're taking an item of produce that you'd usually use part of and throw the rest away, but instead you can cook once and use the one piece of produce in two diverse ways.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not an either or. I think even if you eat meat, this is a fantastic way to incorporate more micronutrients into your diet because so many good vitamins and minerals are lost in the pieces of the produce that we throw away, or produce that's like a little not as good as it once was, that we don't know what to use it for now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we lose so much of that. And if your goal is to cook healthy, and you want that, you know, your Sunday and your Wednesday person to be the same. I think this is just a great, like, cook once, eat twice sort of thing. That episode, we played it back in February of last year, 287.
Lovely. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We hope this was just as fruitful for you as it felt for us. Many of you know that we have a newsletter called The Friend Letter that goes out 3 times a week to all you treasures, where we're talking about what's for free that week, giving savings tips and life hacks to help you save money, spend better. We want to give a shout out to one of our friends for sending a response to The Friend Letter, because it is an email and you can respond to that email and it comes to our inbox. This is from Liz, who said, I started listening to Frugal Friends when I was trying to pay off my student loans and did a call with Jen years ago, debt gone. Heyo, Jen. The membership was critical for me keeping focused and I loved all the challenges on the portal. I love all the podcasts, but I'm generally catching up. Just want to say thanks for all you do. Wow, Liz, you intersected with us in all the ways you could possibly.
Yes. Oh, Liz, I'm so excited to hear this. Your debt is gone. I probably only took calls with a couple, like maybe like five people. So yes, Liz, I remember you. You are a treasure.
Amazing, Liz. Thanks for sharing that. And thank you all for listening. Again, if you want this friend letter, if you want to be able to respond to us, you want in on all the tips and resources we're handing out to you for free three times a week, frugalfriendspodcast.com.
Yes. And if you're interested in the membership Liz talked about, we're revamping it. But you won't find that out if you don't get on the friend letter.
See you next time.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni. I had something that I wanted to talk about on the after show, and now I can't remember it because I'm so like
repurposing excited. Food. I think it was repurposing food because Eric doesn't like leftovers.
Oh, yes. Okay, that was it. Uh-huh. You are a whiz at using up all of your food. You're the best.
Cheese
at
whiz.
It.
I'm a cheese whiz.
She is a cheese whiz. And this is with a partner who does not eat leftovers.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to paint him to be this like, I refuse kind of person. But he's definitely grown leaps and bounds over like, okay, mind over matter. But he doesn't prefer to eat the same thing constantly over and over again. And I haven't complained about that either because it has kind of forced creativity for me and made cooking a little bit more gamified. And I've embraced that. And before you get on me about traditional gender roles in our marriage, it is an agreed upon thing because he is literally building my house and doing lots of other things that I'm like, I will feed you. Yep. If you will climb on the roof and figure out how to fix the electricity, then yes, I will feed you dinner.
There are unique divisions of labor in every relationship. Yes. But I think a lot of people use not liking leftovers or not liking like microwaved food or having a partner that doesn't like it will use it as an excuse to cook less.
Yeah.
And like my sister-in-law, she also does not like leftovers. And it's not like a get over it and eat them sort of thing, because I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
But it is like you shouldn't be forced to live your life in a way where you're just like forcing yourself almost every day to eat food you don't like. Like that's no way to live.
Yeah.
But that is an opportunity to get creative, not a death sentence for your budget.
Yeah, I think it's an invitation to really enjoy your food. I think that people who really embrace leftovers, they don't have a high priority on enjoyment of food. They've maybe got their focus on other things, and that's great too. But I think for really both Eric and I, we really enjoy food. We want our food to taste good. We like trying new things. So I think this kind of blends with that. And so some of the things that I will do in that regard is if I do make a big meal and we like it, sometimes I'll just freeze it. So it's not that I'm getting super creative. It's just that we liked this, but we're not going to want it again tomorrow. So I'm going to throw it in the freezer, the leftovers, as a kindness to myself in a month from now when I can pull it out again and serve it exactly as is. But then there's also other ways of being able to repurpose the food that you have then made. So a lot of times I will focus on like some of my bases of things. So like a potato or a rice or a pasta, I might make additional and then I'll be able to serve those things with other things. So I've got extra rice and that was a, let's say some version of a chicken and rice. Now I've got more of that and maybe even with that same chicken, doesn't even matter what the sauce was. I'm making a fried rice with it now. Or I made up a lot of potatoes and it was the side of a dish. And now it's going to go on top of tacos. And the next day it's going to go on top of a bed of lettuce as a salad. So it, just finding ways to reincorporate some of these ingredients and maybe even what was the main part of one dinner is now the side dish of another. Something I did recently this week was I mean, we love charcuterie, but I had gotten mozzarella, tomato, and then I have this like balsamic glaze. So that was a salad. We like chopped up the mozzarella and tomato on a bed of lettuce. And then the next day we had that with basil, just the mozzarella, tomato, balsamic glaze, some salt and basil as a part of a charcuterie board. So it's similar flavors, but yet a different experience, I think, is the way that I've tried to kind of gamify it.
That's, I love that. I love that. I learned from you in the way that you cook food.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Because I'm still not super creative.
But you're a very good cook. I like eating your food.
Oh, thank you. It's something I have learned to tolerate. It's still not something I love. I don't necessarily enjoy cooking as a hobby, but I do love to like the food that I'm eating.
Yeah.
I love that. To enjoy the food. Yeah. But I will eat leftovers. I can't eat it more than one day, though. Like, that's my limit. So, but it's not that I don't value the taste. It's that I more value efficiency and less dishes.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that about me.
And we can all find ourselves somewhere on that spectrum and then create a plan and an eating schedule that works for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to look the same for all of us. It just is, you know, sharing our stories and other people's stories to help inspire others in finding what's going to work for you and giving that permission to like be creative, have fun with it, gamify it.
Yes.
Enjoy the food you eat. Love to like it.
Love to like it. And now I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat something I like.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.